Good morning. Good morning. Great to see all of you guys today. My name is Justin. I'm one of the pastors here, and we are going to continue worshiping God together by opening his word together. And so if you have a Bible, you can grab it now and open to the book of Philippians. We're going to be in Philippians chapter 1. If you're using one of the Bibles under the chairs in front of you, that'll be on page 1040. And our church, we're just getting into our third week of our two-year-long discipleship journey that we're on together. And so we're starting this discipleship journey that we're calling Until the Day, and we're going to ask God to do some incredible things in the next 2 years in our lives and in our church. And so hopefully you brought back your vision guide. If you got one of those, hopefully you have it now to take some notes. If you didn't get one of those, it looks like they're all gone from the back table. Maybe there's a few more back there. Are there a few more? A few more back there, so you can come grab one. Even if you forgot yours at home, grab one of those vision guides, because you're going to need to take some notes if you're going to be on this journey with us for the next 2 years. These next handful of sermons are really important. So grab one of those, open it up to week 3 in the back in the white pages, week 3, and you can see space there to take some notes. And if you remember, two Sundays ago, we talked about this discipleship pathway. You'll see it up on the screen. These are the areas that the pastors of our churches have identified and said, man, these are the things that God is already doing in our lives. All right? So if you're a Christian today, if you're here and you are a follower of Jesus, you are already all of this. You are a worshiper, an influencer, a receiver, a learner, a giver, a worker. You are all of these things already. God has started this work in you. That's the theme verse of our two-year journey together. Look at it down in your Bibles in Philippians 1, verse 6. It says, I am confident of this, that he who started a good work in you will bring it to completion until the day of Jesus. And so this is the work that God has already started in you, follower of Jesus, but this is also the work that he is continuing to do. This is the work that he's going to bring to completion until Jesus comes back. And so our two-year journey is just this. We're just saying we want to get in on the work that God is already doing in our lives. God is working in your life to allow you to grow in these ways. And this is a two-year focus for us as a church to say, okay, I want to really see it. I want to pour into it. I want to prioritize it in my life so that 2 years from now, we've taken some massive growth in these areas as a church. And that'll be for our good and our joy and God's glory and the good of our community as we live more and more as God wants us to live. And so, man, we're excited. As a church, we want to walk alongside you and give you opportunities to grow in these areas, encouragement along the way, prayer from our pastors, our staff, our prayer team who is praying for you during the whole first service today, because we're anticipating God doing some incredible things in the next 2 years. And so last week, we looked at the first one of our discipleship pathway here. We looked at receivers, what that means, what that would look like for you to grow as a receiver for the next 2 years. Today, we're going to look at the second one. We're going to look at learners. We are learners until the day. And so let's pray, and then we'll get into it. And so, Father, we pray that now you would speak to us by your word, through your spirit. Open our eyes and minds and show us truth about you, about ourselves, and about your world so that we can live beautifully here. We pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen. So you're likely at the spot in your life where you've realized that we just never stop learning. We never stop learning. And hopefully you've kind of age appropriately learned all that you should by this time of your life. But every once in a while, you know that you come across some bit of knowledge that you've never heard before, you never knew before, and you should know by now. Has that ever happened to you? Where you're like, man, I don't know how I didn't know this. I should have known this. Well, this happened to me a couple years into marriage. Marriage can do this to you. A couple years into marriage, I learned something that, you know, when just the light clicks on and you're like, oh my goodness, I never knew that. So my wife and I were in bed one night. We were kind of like just talking about the day, debriefing before we went to sleep, and I said something like, you know, my friend, whoever, I said it was their birthday today. And she said, ah, another trip around the sun. And now look, this is an embarrassing story for me. But the light went on for me and I sat up in bed and I looked at her and I said, is that what it is? And she was like, what? I was like, is that what a year is? A trip the earth makes around the sun? And she sat up and looked at me and she was like, what? Am I married to you? Like, what are you talking about? And I'm like, I didn't, is that why, does it take 365 days? And she was like, you're kidding me now. And I had no idea. I don't know. 33 years of my life, it escaped me. I didn't know. I thought 365 was random. Thought we just did that to keep track of stuff. I had no idea. Now listen, I'm a product of both private and public school, so there's blame to go around. I don't know. I think God just allowed me to miss this bit of knowledge to give my wife the greatest moment of her life. Because yesterday I went to her and I said, hey, I'm thinking of sharing this really embarrassing moment. I don't know if you remember it. Several years back, we were in bed and I was talking to you and she goes, the sun? And she, last night, 7 years later, started cracking up, like almost had to run to the bathroom, cracking up laughing. And she said, she's like, that was the greatest moment of my life. And so, but we're all learners, right? We're all continuing to learn things. We're never gonna arrive. We're never gonna know it all. Please be careful what you do with that story. Don't just like, I'm being very vulnerable with you this morning. But look at what Proverbs 14 says. It's up on the screen. There is a way that seems right to a person, but its end is the way to death. Do you see what that's saying? That's saying there's a way that it seems right for you and me. There's a way that it seems right to us for us to live in this world and conduct our lives. There's a way that if we're left on our own, left to our own knowledge of how to live and do things, there's a way that it's going to seem right for us to approach all of this. And left to our own, left to our own knowledge, the end of that path is bad. The end of that path, the end of our own knowledge is that we're lost. We have a knowledge problem. Thankfully, God knows that. God knows we need someone to come and tell us what is true and how to live beautifully and how to walk toward life. And so look at what 2 Corinthians 4 says. For God, who said, let light shine out of darkness, has shone in our hearts, look what it says, to give the light of the knowledge of God's glory in the face of Jesus. That's a lot of words. Here's what it says. We have a knowledge problem. God met our knowledge problem and says, I'm going to tell you what you need to know so that the end of the path for you is not death. And what you need to know is this. Look up at it. Jesus. You need to know Jesus. We don't know how to live in this world. God let us know Jesus so that we could. And so in Philippians 1, our text today, where it says that God has started a good work in us to make us learners, that's a work that God has to do. He had to shine his knowledge into this world and into our lives. And so if you're a Christian, you've at least learned who Jesus is and what he's done for you to a degree where you know I need to trust him and give him my life. Praise God for that. Praise God. But Paul also says that God is going to keep working in us to be learners and to grow our knowledge. And so in verse 9, he says this, I pray this, that your love will keep growing in knowledge. God really wants us to love each other well, to live in his world beautifully. And he says this, Paul says, I pray that your love will grow, but it needs to grow in knowledge, the knowledge of who Jesus is and what he's done for us. The more of this knowledge that he's talking about of Jesus that we get, the more our love will grow. And so we are learners until the day. We are learners until Jesus comes back. If you want to love your spouse better, if you want to love your kids better, if you want to love people in our church better and not be bitter, judgmental, or enabling, if you want to love this hurting, broken, God-hating world better, It all comes from growing in a knowledge of who Jesus is. And so I wanted to start there just to say this. If you're like, okay, I think this might be one of my commitments. I want to grow as a learner for the next 2 years. It's not just growing as a learner for learning's sake. Christians don't just grow by the accumulation of knowledge and facts so that we have it and we can spit it back out into the world. That's not the church of Jesus. In the church of Jesus, we grow in our knowledge of Jesus so that it comes out as love. And if you've at any point committed yourself to growing in a knowledge of the Bible or of Jesus and accumulated facts and knowledge and memorized scripture, but it hasn't come out as love, Paul says in 1 Corinthians 13, you're a clanging cymbal. You're an annoying sound in this world. Because the path of growing as a learner for us Christians is not a path of just getting more info. It's a path of growing in love. And so if you want to grow in your love over the next 2 years, man, make a commitment to grow as a learner. As we learn more and more of who Jesus is, like as we know and learn about how deeply Jesus has forgiven us, we'll just love others by forgiving them when they sin against us. When we learn that God accepts and welcomes the broken, the hurting, the needy, we'll love others by welcoming them and caring for them. When we know that God wants us to experience the most joy possible in life, but sin robs us of that joy, we'll love others by boldly being honest with them and telling them about their sin and calling them to repentance. A commitment to growing in knowledge is a commitment to growing in love, because true knowledge of Jesus always fuels a right expression of love. So here's what I want to do. I want us to look at what exactly that would look like. If you were to say, okay, yeah, I need that. I need to grow in my love. I need to grow in living a more beautiful life than I'm currently living. And if God says that that happens through a deep knowledge of Jesus, then yes, I want to be a learner of Jesus for the next 2 years. I want to show you real quick three other things that will happen in your life. If you commit to being a learner over the next 2 years, taking next steps and growing, I want to show you three other things that will happen, and then I want to show you the practical ways that you can grow for the next 2 years, okay? Okay, so let's turn over to Ephesians 1. That's our other passage we're going through, just three pages back. It's on page 1036 in those Bibles under your chairs. We're going to see three other things that will happen in your life if you make a commitment to growing as a learner. Look at Ephesians 1, verse 15. Paul says, this is why, since I heard about your faith in the Lord Jesus and your love for all the saints, I never stop giving thanks for you as I remember you in my prayers. I pray that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the glorious Father, would give you the spirit of wisdom and revelation, look, in the knowledge of him, the knowledge of Jesus. Here's what Paul's saying. He's writing to this church that's acting like a church should. They have faith in Jesus. They have love for each other. How did they get that? Back up in verse 1, Paul calls them faithful saints in Christ Jesus. Their faith in Jesus and love for each other came from a deep knowledge of who Jesus is and what Jesus has done. So it's already what we've said. They know Jesus, and it's coming out as faith and love. But here's what I want us to see. Paul sees it. He sees that they're acting like a church should act with each other, and it encourages him. It encourages him. It says that since he's heard of it, he hasn't stopped thanking God for them. Now, Paul's just a guy who's trying to follow Jesus. He lived a pretty hard life. He came upon some pretty discouraging stuff. But here, this church in Ephesus is encouraging him. It's like it's putting wind in his sails. Their knowledge of Jesus breathed life into someone else. And so here's the point. If you make a commitment to growing as a learner, growing in your knowledge of Jesus produces encouragement. That's just what it's going to do in your life. You're going to become such an encouragement to other people as your knowledge of Jesus deepens. That's what's happened in Ephesus. They know Jesus so well, and they're living it out. And Paul looks at it, and he's just like, huh, praise God. He hasn't stopped praising God. And so our commitment to growing as learners is a commitment to be encouragers of each other. I can't tell you how many times this has happened to me just within this church. There have been people in this church that I haven't had the opportunity to get to know very well, but just by seeing and hearing that they're following Jesus, it's been an encouragement to me. As I see and hear about each of you living out your knowledge of Jesus through faith and love, it's like wind in my sails. It breathes life into me. Like, let me just give you two stories from this week of how this happened. 3 years ago, we sent out Pastor Christian and a team to plant Harbor Church Waipahu. And so I don't know anyone there. Paul writing to Ephesus, he didn't know everyone. I don't know anyone at Harbor Waipahu, really. But I was talking to Christian this week, and he was like, dude, let me tell you an encouraging story. He said, there was this guy who was at our church for a couple years, and then he moved, but I saw him grow during his time. He just grew in his faith. He grew in his love for Jesus. And then he moved back to the mainland, and we were all sad, and it was a bummer. But this week, he texted me, and he said, hey, call me right away. So I called him and said, what's up? You need help? And he said, yeah, I need help figuring out how I can give Harbor Waipahu $45,000. And Christian was like, yeah, I can help. Yeah, I'll help you out with that. Sure. And he's like, but why? What's going on? Like, what happened? And this guy was like, well, God blessed us with this just crazy amount of money. He dropped 45 grand in our lives. And as we've been growing in Jesus, we know what the Bible says about that. We know that God blesses us to be a blessing. And so we just started praying about what Jesus wants us to do with it. And we saw that we grew knowing who Jesus was through Harbor Waipahu, and we just felt God saying, give it to them. So we want to give it to you. That same day, a space came open for Harbor Waipahu to rent right next to theirs that will give them more space. Very same day. I'm like, let's go, man. I mean, here's a couple that was at Harbor Waipahu for a while, and they grew in knowing who Jesus was, grew in being attentive to the Spirit, grew in just knowing that they're blessed to be a blessing. And now this amazing thing's happened where God has worked in their lives to release the stranglehold that money has, one of the things that grips us so intensely in this world, so that they're now living generously beautiful lives. I was so encouraged by that. I don't even know them. I don't even know his name. I couldn't tell you it if I wanted to. Just by those guys knowing Jesus at Harbor Waipahu, it encouraged me this week. There was another thing that happened this week. A couple in our church who have been coming for maybe like 6 months came to me and said, like, man, we've been growing in our knowledge of Jesus. In fact, one of the spouses has come to faith and put their faith in Jesus during the last 3 months. But now they're hitting this roadblock in their faith. They're hitting this roadblock in their marriage that for many couples would cause them to maybe walk away from each other and walk away from God. But as we sat here in this room and talked, they said, hey, we know that this is one of the hardest things we're going to experience in life. We know that maybe the temptation is going to be to walk away. We want to do the exact opposite. We want to press in. We want to walk toward each other and walk toward Jesus. And I just looked at, I thought I was coming to a meeting that was going to be a powder keg. And I came to a meeting of people that encouraged me all week because they said, we know Jesus. We know what he's done in our lives. And so we just want to trust him moving forward. And it just breathed life into me. It just put wind into my sails. And that's what happens. The more and more we learn of who our God is, of who Jesus is and what he's done for us, we just naturally become encouragers of each other as we live that out. And so for the next 2 years, if you sign up to be a learner, to grow in that way, it will lead you to be an encourager of other people. Look how Paul keeps going. It's going to do more. Verse 18, he says, I pray that the eyes of your heart may be enlightened. So he says, I want you to learn something else. I want God to teach you, show you something else, so that you may know what is the hope of his calling. Paul says, I want you to grow and learn more because I want you to know the hope that God has for you. Here's what Paul's saying. When you grow in knowledge of who Jesus is, it's going to produce hope in your life. Knowledge of Jesus produces hope. Why? Because the more you get to know Jesus, the more you realize how unbelievably bright your future is. The more you get to know Jesus, the more you realize how unbelievably bright your future is. Because the more you get to know Jesus, the more you'll get to know things like Jeremiah 29 is true. It says, for I know the plans I have for you, says God, plans for your well-being, not disaster, plans to give you a future and hope. You start to get to know Jesus and how God works in your life, and you start to realize, this is my future. This is God's heart for me and heart for my future. He has good in store for me. And that starts to build into our hope for the future. The more you get to know Jesus, the more you'll long for the future he describes in Revelation 21, where it says God will wipe away every tear from our eyes, that death will be no more, grief, crying, pain will be no more. We start to get this picture of our future and what God has promised, and it builds hope into the right now. The more you get to know Jesus, the more you'll cling to hope right now, because Romans 5, the hope God gives will not disappoint us, because God's love has been poured out in our hearts through the Holy Spirit who was given to us. The more you get to know Jesus, the more your whole outlook on the future and the future of this world changes. Knowledge of Jesus drives out fear of the future. Knowledge of Jesus gives hope that our future is more glorious than we could ever dream. And man, don't we need some hope for that right now? Like, you look around at this messy world that we live in this divided, messy country that we live in, and sometimes the ugliness that can even exist within the church right now. I think sometimes it's easy to look at all that and think like, oh man, I'm terrified of the future. But the hope that we need to have as a church, as Christians, the vision of our future that we need to cling to, it comes not from politics, not from national or local leaders, not from being as prepared as we can be, not from our ability to dissect each cultural moment perfectly. It comes from knowing Jesus, knowing who he is, knowing what he's done for you, knowing who he says you are, knowing the promises that he's made about your future. And so, man, a commitment to grow as a learner would be a commitment to you saying, man, I want to grow my hope. I want to be more hopeful about my own life, my own future, and about the future of God's people and God's world. Knowledge about Jesus drives out our fear in the future and gives us hope. Gives us one more thing. Read verse 18 again. I pray that the eyes of your heart may be enlightened, open to know more. I want you to know the hope of God's calling and the wealth of his glorious inheritance and what is the immeasurable greatness of his power toward us who believe. Paul says, I want you to know some other things. I want you to know how immeasurably great God's power is. Why? Why would Paul want them to know how immeasurably powerful God is? So that they'll trust him. So that they'll trust him. If we truly knew how unbelievably vast and immeasurable and powerful God is, it would allow us to trust him no matter what's going on in our lives. And so here's what I think that means. As we grow in a knowledge of Jesus, his immeasurable greatness and power, it's going to produce faith. It's going to produce faith. When we deeply know who Jesus is and what he's done for us, we'll just have a stronger, deeper faith. Like, look at what Peter says in 2 Peter 1. He says, may grace and peace be multiplied to you, look at this, through the knowledge of God and of the Lord Jesus. So he says knowledge of God and Jesus gives you grace and peace as well. But then he goes on and says this, his divine power has given us everything required for life and godliness. Man, that is an incredible thing to say. Like if someone came up to you today and said, you have everything you need for life. You've got everything you need today, right now. That just seems way too good to be true, right? Like for those of you who work with your hands, maybe you work construction or something like that, what's the worst thing could happen when you show up to do a project or a job? You show up and you don't have the tools you need, right? This is every home project I've ever done in my life. I've never had the right tools. That's why everything in my house is a little off and weird. So I just figure out how to make it work. Duct tape and super glue. Maybe those are the right tools. Sorry, I'm off my notes. The worst thing that can happen is not to have the right tools. And I think that's how we feel sometimes when we wake up in the morning. We wake up and we're like, man, I don't have it for today. I don't have what I need for today. I don't have the patience to deal with these people today. I don't have the strength to get through this day. I don't have the endurance to, I don't have it, man. And that is simply a lie. That's a lie that the enemy would love for you to believe. God has told us we have every single thing we need for life and godliness. And what does it come through? Look at what it says. He has given us everything required for life and godliness. Look at what it says. Through the knowledge of him. Everything that we need in life comes through what? The knowledge of Jesus. And if you have everything you need in life, and it all comes from Jesus, from the immeasurable greatness of God, then we can show up every day and have faith. Every single day, we can get up out of bed and say, man, I can do this because I have God. Yeah, I can do this. God's given me everything I need because I have Jesus. Maybe you're in a season where your faith is struggling, where you feel like you're just barely hanging on. And man, if you're in a faith struggle, what you need is to come back to what you already know, to come back to the knowledge of who Jesus is and what he's done for you. Maybe you're like, why? I already know that. I already believe that. I think what I need is more. I need to move on and progress to more, to something deeper than that. Well, look what Peter continues, look at what he says. He says, therefore, I will always remind you about these things, even though you know them and are established in the truth you have. I think it's right, as long as I'm here, to wake you up with a reminder. He says, here's what you need if your faith is struggling. You need to be reminded of Jesus. You don't need to move on to something different or something new. You need more of Jesus. You need to know who he is again, what he's done for you again, who he says you are, and what he's promised about your future. When your faith is weak, you need to be woken up with a reminder. And so a commitment to growing as a learner is this commitment that you'll make over the next 2 years to having a deepened faith in Jesus, to being reminded who he is again and again, and watch that work deep faith into your life. And so that's what you're signing up for, as a commitment to take the next step as a learner. You'd be taking next steps toward being an encourager, to having hope in the future, to having a deep faith, and all of that working together to produce love. Love for God, love for each other, love for this world. And so how? How are we gonna do it? If you want to grow in being a learner until the day, a learner over the next 2 years, how would that actually look? Well, last week, when we looked at being receivers, we said there's three ways we grow, right? If we're going to grow as receivers, we show up, we pray often, and we be known, right? That's what we saw last week. This week, we're going to see three things as well. If you sign up to be a learner until the day, here's the three ways that's going to happen. So number one, to sign up to be a learner for the next 2 years is to sign up to say, I want more. I want more. Learners want more. To say, I'm not content to stay where I'm at in my knowledge. I'm not content to just kind of stay where I'm at in what I know about Jesus and about the Bible and about God. I want more than what I currently have. Now, that's not something that everyone wants. And so, in fact, when Peter writes, look at 1 Peter 2, he says, like newborn infants, desire the pure milk of the word so that by it you may grow. The pure milk of the world, that's Jesus. That's the gospel. And Peter says, what we all should be doing is desiring baby milk. We should all be craving the gospel because that's how we grow. And I think for some of us, what we've said is, man, like, I want to move past Jesus to some deeper stuff. Or maybe it's Jesus plus something that I need. And what we really need to come back to is wanting more of Jesus. So for some of us, that next step might be to pray that God gives us this desire. To pray like, God, give me a desire for Jesus that I feel like I've moved on from. Maybe you remember a time in your life where you're on fire for Jesus, you couldn't get enough of him, you would actually sing, and you would feel something singing about Jesus, and now you're just kind of through the motions. Now you're just kind of, well, I'll get to my Bible, maybe if I have time. I like Jesus, but I also like a lot of other things in my life that give me joy. And what Paul's saying, no, man, one of the postures of being a learner is saying, I want more of Jesus. And so having this commitment to wanting more, being part of a group of people who want more together and are gonna stoke that in each other. And the good news is this, when you want more of God, you're gonna get it. You're going to get it. Proverbs 8 says this. God says, I love those who love me, and those who search for me, find me. Those who search for me, find me. James 4:8, super popular verse. Draw near to God and he will draw near to you. If you want more of God, you're going to get it. And so, man, we want more. If you want to grow as a learner, it's this commitment to saying, yes, I want more. I want to draw near. I want more of Jesus than I'm currently satisfied with. That's the first posture. And so how would you live that out at our church? Well, there's some ways that some opportunities maybe to grow in that. We literally have a thing that we call next steps. And it's for people in our church that are like, yeah, I'm not content just sitting here facing the same direction every week. Like I want more. I want more in my gathering of God's people. And so we have this next steps little meetup that we do where we share the ways that you could get more plugged in here at our church, ways that you can get involved in mission, ways that you can be a more active member here at our church. And so maybe that's, you're like, okay, maybe that's one of my next steps is that I need to attend next steps. That's why we named it that, right? To say like, I want more. I want more than just kind of where I'm at right now. Maybe it's taking our foundations course. We do this once or twice a year. We'll probably do it again in the spring, where it's to say, like, okay, you're a Christian. You've accepted Jesus. Now what? Like, what does that mean? Let's dig deeply into the Bible and figure out, what does it mean that you're justified? What does it mean that God is sanctifying you? What does it mean to come up and take communion? What exactly is happening? See, it may be that many of us are kind of in the faith and following Jesus, but we just kind of don't know a lot about what we're doing and what all this means and why we're doing it. And we have a foundations course that just says, okay, let's dig into that. Let's ask some of those questions. And so maybe your next step to grow as a learner is to say, yeah, I need to get that foundation. I need to commit to saying, I want more. I want to know more about what I believe. Or our focus seminars. 2 years ago, we did one on foster care and adoption. This year on prayer. Next year, we're going to do one on evangelism. These seminars where we get together a morning or an afternoon and we say, let's just focus on growing together in this thing. There's opportunities to grow as a learner for those who want more here at our church. But it's not just that you want more. In fact, just that desire by itself might not get you very far, because yeah, we actually need to grow in the second thing as well. To grow as a learner would mean that we make space to grow as a learner. We make space. See, I think for a lot of us, the reason why we're not necessarily growing as learners is that we've filled up our lives with so many things that aren't Jesus that we don't necessarily have space to learn about Jesus. Like, what next step could you take to slow down and be a learner this week? What distraction could you cut back on to focus on knowing Jesus more? We fill our lives with so many things in this world, and sometimes we give Jesus the scraps, the last few moments of our day where we open our Bible and say, okay, I'm gonna do this Jesus thing now, and I'm gonna pray, and then 4 minutes into it, we're fast asleep because we've given the best of ourselves to everything else all day long. And maybe we just need to make some space in our lives to say, Jesus, I'm gonna give the best to you. I think there's a lot of ways that this probably needs to be done in a lot of our lives, but I wonder if one of the answers for many of us, just to speak into our cultural moment here, I wonder if for many of us an answer could be that we need to stop doom scrolling. We just need to stop. We need to put the phone, the iPad, the computer down. We need to get off it. We need to stop doom scrolling. I think many Christians have fallen more in love with getting their knowledge of Jesus from social media than they have with Jesus himself. If we're going to social media to grow as learners, we're placing ourselves in a context that literally stokes what Peter says in 1 Peter 2. Because right before he says that we should want more, that we should want the milk of the word, right before he says we should all want more, look at what he says, 2 Peter 2 verse 1. Therefore, rid yourselves of all malice, deceit, hypocrisy, envy, and slander. Then he goes on, like newborn infants desire Jesus, desire the gospel. But first he says, rid yourself of this junk. And you know what happens when we spend the majority of our day doom scrolling? We're feeding into this junk. The algorithm of social media is literally there to stoke this stuff in your and my life and keep us scrolling, and we love it. We love it. We can't get enough of it. And then 2 hours later after doom scrolling, we sit back and we're angry at people. We're angry at people in the comments section, right? We're frustrated with this world. We're slandering people. I wonder if we need to stop doom scrolling through the junk food knowledge we can find on social media and make space for things like our men and women's Bible study. Things here at our church where we get together and we put our phones aside and say, man, let's dig into what God's word says together. Let's not doom scroll about all the things we could get angsty about, but let's rest and trust in the peace of Jesus found in his word. Maybe we need to make space and stop doing some of those things that distract us from Jesus and meet up for the systematic theology meetups that happen here on Mondays and Wednesdays, where men and women are studying deep truths about who God is and how he works in our lives. Man, what if we took all the time we scroll and replaced it with our Bibles? So for many of us, if we're going to sign up to commit to being learners for the next 2 years, one of the first steps might be making space for it by putting away the things that lead us away from the true knowledge of Jesus. And if you want to do that, if you want to grow in that, man, let's grow together. Commit to it and let's do it together. The third thing, we want more, we make space, we dig deep. We dig deep. If we're going to grow as learners, then we need to dig deeply together over the next 2 years. And so look what Luke 6, what Jesus says about this in Luke 6. He says, why do you call me Lord, Lord, and don't do the things that I say? I will show you what someone's like who comes to me, hears my word, and acts on them. So he's got this group of people, and he says, there's many of you here who you hear my words, but it's not producing a life that it should. So you don't have true knowledge of me. You know facts about me. He said, let me show you what it looks like when someone has true knowledge of me and how it changes their life. Okay, keep going. He's like a man building a house who dug deep and laid the foundation on the rock. And so when the flood came, the river crashed against the house and couldn't shake it because it was well built. The guy who dug deep, the guy who got true knowledge of who Jesus is, he dug deep and built his life on the rock, built his life on Jesus, and he was unshakable in this world. That's what the next 2 years will look like for anyone committed to growing as a learner, to dig deep through personal Bible reading and scripture memorization, to dig deep through challenging yourself to learn and grow, and the result is going to be an unshakable life. A beautiful life of encouragement and love and faith and hope. Listen, Harbor West, we can't stop learning. We can't. God's wisdom has no end, and the competing wisdom of this world is really loud. And so, church, let's commit to grow as learners until the day that Jesus returns. Let's pray together.